from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Braves dropped game one of the four-game series, 5-4. Phillies score in the final five runs. Let's dissect this whole thing with our very own Grant McCauley. He has not gotten his contract extension yet. He's still going to go ahead and do this segment. I appreciate you, Grant.
Hey, happy to do it.
All right. I know there's a lot of criticism around Brian Snitker. You left Charlie Morton in too long. I got to tell you, I think he's done a pretty magnificent job. The Braves have lost the equivalent of their starting quarterback, their left tackle, their best edge rusher, and their best receiver, and yet they're still in the wild card conversation. What is it about what he's been able to do to keep the ship afloat?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of speaks to the overall tone that's been set for this club for a number of years. I mean, I don't think this is anything new as far as the injury is concerned. This is just the most extreme case that I think we've ever seen when it comes to that. I mean, yeah, 2021 was a thing, and the Braves found a way to get through that, but this is not 2021 necessarily. That's one of the many outcomes that could come from this ultimately when we, you know, look back on it, but we're not in that place right now. So I think really what Brian Snitker has managed to do as well or better than any other manager that I can see is that tone doesn't shift. There are no just crazy peaks and valleys for an emotional ride or an emotional leader. And I know that for some people, that's a criticism of, hey, we got to see more fire. We got to do this. We got to do that. And you know, some of that, I think, yeah, every once in a while, maybe, you know, I would look at it differently. I think we all could. But a lot of that stuff, I think, is anecdotal and doesn't really change anything. I mean, Brian Snitker getting thrown out of a game here or there, might that fire them up for a moment? I don't know. Maybe. It's possible. Or it may just kind of be the flow of that game. So, anyway, to make a long story short, I feel like he has been dealt a handful of injuries. You know, last night, I think more of the criticism had to do with how you deployed your bullpen, which I'm sure we can get into. But I also would look at a bullpen that had to work a lot in Minnesota as probably a big factor in the reason for the decisions that were made in last night's game.
Grant, I'm sure we'll get back into the bullpen as well, because obviously you need to talk about Aaron Bummer and availability of certain guys last night and things like that. But I don't want to go any further without talking about Matt Olson breaking out the big stick last night.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the ball tracker was broken on the broadcast. 450 seems very, very shallow for what that ball looked like it was doing. Is there any talk about any differences in Matt Olson in the last month or so? He just seems to be, and look, we've talked circles around Matt Olson. I think he is the catalyst moving forward for this offense, and he can get it fired up. But has there been any talk of what exactly Matt Olson might be doing differently, or is this just a case of things kind of coming back around after some bad luck earlier in the year?
No, I think there's a little bit of bad luck that was in play, sure, but I mean, obviously a lot more has been going on this season than just that. I mean, he still hits the ball as hard and as frequently as anybody in baseball, just about. I mean, this side of Aaron Judge, anyway, that's a different animal to discuss perhaps at a different time or not at all. But I think that he's made minor adjustments. And I know that over the past, you know, week to 10 days, a lot of that really seems to have manifested. We're seeing a lot of extra base hits, a lot of home runs. He was through 102 games with 13 home runs. And so at that time, I believe he was on pace for, what was it, 20, 21 home runs this year. And that's just not Matt Olson. But I think he's managed to adjust a little bit in the box. I think he's trying to kind of quiet some things down. There's some movement in his stance, his setup. And obviously when he takes his stride and looks to get his swing started, maybe those are the little things that if you're just watching day after day, you don't notice a major change. It's not like he started batting right-handed or something. So I think a lot of it has to do with the cyclical nature of a season as well. There aren't going to be those highs and lows, and I think he's just continued to work, and that's a credit to Matt Olson.
Well, we talk about the job Ryan Snitker's done, and I'm here for it. I'm all here for that. But I think a guy that has been lost because of the struggles in this offense is Kevin Seitzer. And I think you can point to what he's done with, I don't know, Whit Merrifield and Ramon Laureano and such, and how those guys, even Gio Urshela, since he's gotten here, have just taken off. I know it's not all of Seitzer, but what is he done that has helped these guys take off in this lineup? Because they've actually, in some ways, carried the lineup, it feels like, a little bit lately, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, they were necessary pieces, because otherwise your lineup was going to be so patchwork that you didn't really have much of a complete lineup. And some of this comes from, I mean, these are veteran hitters, veteran players that have had success before, so they believe that they can get back there, and they put in the work to do it. And a lot of times, again, it's just kind of some minor adjustments, approach, you know, maybe hand placement. That's a big thing for the Braves. And I feel like with Kevin Seitzer, he hasn't forgotten how to teach hitting in the last couple of years. But at this level, you're not necessarily teaching hitting. You're just trying to find the right adjustments for the right guys that gets them through kind of the peaks and valleys that they might be feeling at the plate. And I just think he does a really good job of that. And I think he does, you know, in the midst of a season like this, catch a little bit more heat. But you know, between the injuries and some of the regression that I don't think you could have expected, I don't know who out there was going to have all the answers to face what the Braves have this year or to solve what the Braves have this year. But I don't think that you can look at Kevin Seitzer and lay all of this at his feet, that the Braves went from being a great offense to a not-so-great offense. And I'll say the same thing for managers, coaches, all that stuff. The players have to go out there and execute. The game is won and lost on the field. There are some tactical decisions that can certainly affect that, but the great majority of it, the vast majority of it, is the players themselves, and that's kind of who runs the game if we really break it all down.
Marcell Ozuna is certainly a great redemption story. Now, I've usually been kind of steadfast against the notion of a DH winning the MVP, but I'm thinking, you know, if the Braves do get in the wild card and actually go on a bit of a run in the playoffs, can you kind of – I'm starting to change my mind maybe about the notion of a DH being MVP. What do you think?
Well, a DH is definitely going to be the MVP. The unfortunate thing is it's going to be the DH for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there is that. But they also do all that voting before you get to the postseason, so that wouldn't really even factor at all other than knowing that the club made it to the postseason. But Marcell should, in my mind, he's a top three finisher in the National League MVP. And he is – in a year where Shohei Ohtani has come over and taken his game to a different level, despite not even being able to pitch this year, it's just kind of unfortunate timing, I guess I would call it, for Marcell. But this has been an MVP caliber season. I don't want to take anything away from that. It's just what's happening out there in L.A. for that guy with 30 games left to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to overcome, hard to climb that mountain.
All right, hanging out with Grant McCauley, Braves insider. Grant, Ronaldo Lopez against Ranger Suarez tonight. Max Fried against Zach Wheeler tomorrow. And then you'll get Spencer Schwellenbach against Aaron Nola for the series finale. Which one of those matchups is the best pitching matchup? And which one of those also might favor the Braves in some way?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you're getting basically the Phillies' three best starters from this point on, which is why game one, I think, stings so much to know that you had an early lead and weren't able to hold on to it. Kind of sets the tone for the series. I don't know that it erases the momentum the Braves have had from the past couple of weeks, but it certainly neutralizes things here in terms of the overall impact that you could hope to make in this series and in the standings. But they've got a job to do. These Braves pitchers do. Ronaldo Lopez and Max Fried, I think, both threw well their last time out. And Ronaldo's looked great since he came off the injured list, so hopefully he can channel a little bit of what he did against the Phillies in his first start back. And I think Spencer Schwellenbach is kind of, and I don't say this to discredit him at all, kind of a wild card in all of this. Can he continue to do the things that he has done? And if he does, I mean, the question really for all of this is, can the Braves hit enough against some of these better Philly pitchers? Because it seems like every time they line up for a series, you're facing Wheeler and Nola, and a lot of times the third man in that one is Ranger Suarez. So I don't know that I could pick one that's just the better one. I mean, I guess maybe I would go with the Max Fried and Zach Wheeler one as far as the marquee matchup, but they're all going to be tough, and I think they're going to be tough on both sides, and it's going to be interesting to see from this point forward with what I feel like should be a fully available bullpen for the next 3 days with the bigger arms, the more important arms for the Braves, some guys who I don't think were available last night. Can that factor in? Because the Braves bullpen is a big reason why they win the games they do.
Well, you know what? Perfect. You set me up for this question. How does the back end of the bullpen set up for you, seventh, eighth, ninth? How will or how should Stint use them?
Yeah, I think that Dylan Lee has certainly pitched his way into that equation, but clearly Joe Jimenez and Pierce Johnson and Raisel Iglesias, and you figure out who could come in and help you in that sixth or seventh inning. You have an eighth inning guy, and obviously we know who the ninth inning guy is, but all of those arms were used quite a bit in Minnesota because you didn't get necessarily the length that you needed from your starters, and you're trying to win all those games. So Snit has emptied out that bullpen there, and at some point you kind of have to hit that reset. It's just unfortunate that it probably affected yesterday's decision-making, but you can also look at where Charlie Morton was in that game yesterday. Was it really the call, or was it just a fluky fly ball three-run homer that nobody expected to go out of the ballpark? I think there's a lot of different things at play, but not having all of the necessary bullets was, I think, a factor in what happened last night, and I don't think it should be the same kind of factor moving forward.
All right, Grant, tomorrow, what's your must-see college football game? Or is there one?
Georgia Clemson is what I'm going to be watching. Everything else I'll keep up with, but that's pretty much what I'm going to be tuned into.
I would rather have Grant's thoughts on the Joey Chestnut Kobayashi rules and the hot dog eating contest on Labor Day, but
I don't have a lot of thoughts on those, but that is some must-see entertainment for someone else in my household.
Tell Allie Mack we said hello.
I will definitely do that.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Take care, guys.
I know they're doing it on Labor Day now, too. They're really extending the brand, aren't they?
Well, that's
it. Have they always done it on Labor Day?
No. I'm going to talk about this in A Life of Squid. I believe it's on Netflix. Yeah.
But more importantly, what we got?
Foul. Here it goes. You ready? Here's my tease. Shedeur Sanders will be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in 2025. Ooh. Fair or foul. Coming up, you know.
So hot takey.
There you go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.